Welcome to Let Love, a podcast with the Sisters of Life. We invite you to join us for conversation, looking at life through the lens of love. You are loved, you are made in God's image, and your life matters. Let's talk about it.
Welcome back to the Let Love podcast, everyone. My name is Sister Anna Immaculée.
I'm Sister Catherine Joy Marie.
Sister Mary Grace.
And Sister Veritas.
And it is week 5 of Lent. Can you believe it?
No.
Yep. It's amazing.
It's really sped along.
Home stretch, basically.
Yeah. First week.
That's great. It's such a joy to be with you all. And, you know, we were kind of... Okay, everyone's having a laugh attack in the room right now.
Get it out now.
It's great. You're like entering into our...
Yeah. You can laugh through
this is what happens.
By the way.
It's true. Yeah, what a gift to be with you. Mm-hmm. And week 5. And we had a great gospel yesterday, but mm-hmm. it was making me think of, you know, funny experiences of of learning that the cross is the part of the Christian life. And, you know, there's this great part in the gospel that says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. And I remember being probably 20, 21, 22 years old mm-hmm. when a spiritual director told me for the first time, like using mm-hmm. this passage to refer to kind of the gift of self we're called to in the Christian life. And I was like, that's a part of my life. Like mm-hmm. I had no idea the cross was involved in the Christian mission, but it's true. You know, sometimes we can be surprised in this. We were laughing at just funny experiences in the convent of when the cross comes and you're not expecting it yeah. in silly ways. You know, one of the traditions we have as Sisters of Life, which I don't even know where it came from. Actually, I think Cardinal O'Connor, our founder, he loved like theater and plays and was involved in seminary. And so a tradition early on in our community was a Thanksgiving skit mm-hmm. that was put on by our postulants, which is the first year of religious life. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anyone wants to help me paint a picture here, but what was your experience like, Sister Mary Grace, when you were asked to do this as a postulant?
Yeah, funny that. It's probably going to be different from which sister responds at this point, but for me, it was definitely the first death. I mean, I love gun shows, I love theater, but being on the stage is just not my thing. And I kind of thought, you know, maybe I walked away from that when you enter the convent. But it was excruciating. Picture this, right? I mean, you do have like the most accommodating crowd ever, you know, 100 sisters. I mean, they're going to laugh and cry at anything that you give them. But, you know, you've just entered the community. You've put on a ridiculous skirt and vest. You already are humiliated in many ways every day. And then you're told you're going to do a 30-minute performance in front of all these brand new sisters that you're just getting to know. You can't remember all their names at the same time. Yeah, I experienced death. To me, it was excruciating. I was like, are you kidding me? And then I realized, like, I've walked away from everything. But the thought of walking in front of all these sisters and coming up with a theater display in half an hour, it was torturous, to say the least. It was excruciating.
That's great.
It's so funny. Some people have different experiences.
I was just going to say, it's so funny because I loved it. It was so much fun. It was like my dream. I was like, wow, we get to do theater in the convent. It's like a confirmation of my vocation.
It was a crisis of mine.
Isn't it funny how different we are?
Oh my goodness. It all worked out well. We survived in the end. What was the experience for you, Sister Kevin Joy? Did you love it, hate it, in the middle?
Probably in the middle, but I more was just so amazed at it. Something that we did as sisters. Hmm. And like, it was something so playful that mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, like we still have fun like this and we still, and these little simple joys. I'm not super into like acting, but I discovered that I loved it. Mm-hmm. And it was more of like the joy of like creating something together mm-hmm. that I wasn't expecting. So it wasn't as much a cross for me, but
something for everyone. And the beautiful thing is though, like looking back, it's like the memories from that first year. Yeah. I mean, we tell these postulant skits over and over again every year. It becomes like this classical story of this group did this and this group pulled off these jokes and those ones made us laugh at that. It becomes, talk of the town.
But legendary.
Yeah, but for those in it for the first time.
But it's so bonding though.
It is. Yeah. That's the thing.
There's like before the skit and after the skit.
Oh, absolutely.
Your dynamic is different. It's so cool.
Yeah, bonding like, takes place.
We do something
for sure.
Together.
Yeah,
it's so powerful.
Yeah, you
it's
learn true. Each other in a new way.
Yeah, totally.
Like, gifts come out. You had no idea this sister was so funny, or that sister mm-hmm. could sing like that. You know.
Yeah, it's true.
That sister goes quiet.
Yeah,
I know.
And there's like amazing
multitudinous other opportunities. You know,
like, what a good word, multitudinous. Mm. Thanks.
Yeah,
came to me suddenly. But like other ways too of like mm-hmm. little deaths or little surprises where, again, what it might be for you, like, oh my gosh, this is nuts. But for someone else, it's like, this is wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. like washing tinfoil. or
strangest thing in the world. Or now we do it daily.
Ziploc bags.
Mm-hmm.
It was a surprise for
you. You
know,
you can use them like 5 times over minimum.
It's easy. True.
Or eating salad every day.
Wow.
Okay, that's amazing.
Or I remember my dad, when he heard I was going into the convent, he had many thoughts, but I remember one thing. He was like, "You're not going to make it." And I'm like, "Why not, Dad?" And he's like, "You in the morning? Yeah, right."
Whoa.
Yeah, listen, we're still struggling through that, but I'm becoming a morning person.
I was going to say, yeah. You get up,
the most morning of us all.
Yeah. Yeah, not in my early childhood, but we're all working on it. But it is funny. What's a pinch for one is, the gift for another.
Yeah, but it does bind you together. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it gives space to lean on each other, honestly, mm-hmm. and look to each other. Because if we all had this thing down pat, mm-hmm. it would be boring in the convent.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely boring.
But definitely it does. Not boring, though.
But it's definitely not boring. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not actually boring, rather exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's extraordinary.
Well, should we hop in?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Grace, you want to open us up in a prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just place ourselves in your presence. For you are always with us. You are always blessing us. You're always taking care of us. You always know our need even before we recognize it. And so, Father, we just ask right now that you send us in Jesus' name a new gift of your Holy Spirit, that we may be aware of your presence in our life. We may be aware of your constant pursuit of us, aware of your providence at every second of the day. And Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that you, just open our hearts, widen them to the gift that you have to give us today in this episode together as we talk about your Son, Jesus, and the gift of the Word. We just ask you, Father, plant a new word in our hearts today. We open our hearts to you and we just invite you, come, Lord Jesus, come in. And we trust our hearts in our Lenten journey, all our successes and all our failures so far, into the hands of Mary. And we just ask you, Mary, be a mother to us. Help us to stay open like you are. As we pray, Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary, Queen of Hope,
pray for us.
Amen. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Love that title.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Sister Catherine Joy, you want to read the gospel passage from yesterday?
Mm-hmm. So yesterday's gospel was from John 12, 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die.
Amen. Wow. Powerful passage.
Mm-hmm.
Like power packed.
It's loaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really love this translation, can I just say?
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it dies, it remains alone.
Mm.
But if it dies, it produces much fruit, which is really amazing, especially as the season of communion and Lent. And I think it's just such a powerful word of in this passage, is like unfolding like the idea of friendship and self-gift that actually brings communion and the cross. Anyway, I think it's just it's really rich.
Mm-hmm. Like it's an immediate invitation to let go of the lonely life.
Wow.
To weigh in.
That's
And I love how it started too. It's like the first Chinese whispers. You know, it's like the Greeks came to Philip. Philip went to Andrew. Andrew went to Philip. Philip and Andrew went to Jesus. It's just like this beautiful kind of like conversation between friends before it gets to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I was trying to imagine, I was praying this, I was like, why did Philip have to go to Andrew? I'm like, was Andrew like bodyguarding Jesus or something? Like, was there a reason mm-hmm. why? But it's really beautiful. It's like, yeah, did Philip have to go to Andrew? Like, did he have to, or could he just have gone straight to Jesus? But there's something mm-hmm. really beautiful here of like, yeah, there's a gift of friendship and communio that goes to Jesus together and brings others to Jesus together.
Cool.
It's just interesting detail, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know the reason why exactly, but I just mm-hmm. think it's such a proclamation of, yeah, friendship and community.
Mm-hmm. I think there's an invitation here too to, yeah, just be open to conversation about Jesus. Cause you're reminding me, I don't know, remember when we went to be really specific, we were recently like at a convent of our sisters and yeah. we hadn't seen them for ages. So it was kind of like the first time we were seeing them in like, what, like 3-4 months. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of sitting at table where usually we have our meals and we have open conversation. And of course we hadn't seen them for months. So we were like, let's just tell them about where we're seeing Jesus in the missions. And yeah. we were like, you know, the five of us were kind of bouncing off, you know, each other and just sharing missions and where we're seeing Jesus and, you know, awesome miracles we're seeing on college campuses and God showing up here and there. And there was about 20 of us at table and the conversation was electric. Yeah, it was awesome. Amazing. And it wasn't like we were just sharing good news. It was, there's something powerful about witnessing to each other, just how we're seeing God move in our life.
Yeah.
And I remember after that, we went to time at prayer and it was like, I could feel within me a desire to run to talk to Jesus more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something of an exchange of witness that mm-hmm. draws us closer to Jesus when we talk about him together first.
It's so true. I love that. Mm-hmm. That was actually such a powerful meal.
Yeah, did you remember
and
that?
It's like we were finishing each other's sentences and like telling the stories together. But it was like this excitement of like, look what Jesus is doing, like how real he is and he's alive. And you're right. It did like set a fire in the heart of like that. It's something else we learned at the Encounter Ministries conference mm-hmm. that our spiritual life was never meant to be like this solo thing. Like sometimes we can mm-hmm. think like it's just me and Jesus. And that's it, you know, mm-hmm. but like, that's not what heaven is. Mm. Yeah. It's like me and Jesus and everybody else, you know, like,
yes.
it's like that we're God. Why did he institute a church, right? For communion.
Yes.
So we were never meant to just be like in silos or in our own little, I don't know, vortex. I don't know what word I'm trying to find. But like,
absolutely.
But exactly what you're saying. We're like, we're meant for that.
Mm-hmm.
And to like find him together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
And to talk to him together. That's just two friends talking to Jesus together.
Right.
Like that's prayer.
Yeah.
Like what is that equivalent to? You're praying to Jesus.
And talking to each other about Jesus leads us to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not an isolated thing. It actually, all of a sudden now they're all running toward Jesus after they're mm-hmm. sharing that. That's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're bringing their need together to Jesus. Like it just makes me think of intercessory prayer of like praying mm-hmm. together. Like it, that I could bring what I need to Jesus, but it's more powerful when I share that need with my friends, with my community. And then we all bring that need to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Requires that's a real awesome. Vulnerability and, you know, being willing to share your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say too, we have a tradition in our community where just on a daily basis, when we pray the rosary together, we usually just start by saying, you know, let's lift our prayer intentions mm-hmm. to the Lord. And I don't know if any of you have this experience, but I never did this before I entered the convent, like speak out loud needs. Mm-hmm. And I was very vulnerable at first, but mm-hmm. I have learned over the years, you know, 10 years in the convent now, how powerful it is when not only I make my needs known to the community by praying the rosary together, but also to hear what triggers my sister's hearts of what mm-hmm. to pray for. And mm-hmm. actually that rosary, I've never prayed the rosary in the same way because I'm aware of how the Spirit is moving in other people's hearts and what they're attentive to that I forget or mm-hmm. they bring to mind, to pray about this sister's family or to pray about this particular mission or to pray about this thing coming up. It's almost like our prayer widens and gets more powerful the more we listen to each other before we dive into Jesus.
That's so true.
Mm.
It's so cool.
That's awesome. Mm. It's beautiful that you're talking about that because my experience too is like sometimes something will be on my heart and I don't say it out loud and then someone next to me says it.
Cool.
And to me, it's such a sign of like, wow, there is the same Spirit moving in your heart that's moving in mine.
That's awesome.
And like God is going to speak through each of us, you know, in a unique way, but that there's actually a common cry of each of our hearts, you know, for the world and those entrusted to us.
Yeah. And what's beautiful too about that is it's you're coming in that place to like, you don't have the answer. Like, you know what you're praying for, but you actually don't know the answer to your prayer.
Yes.
And you're not exactly even sure totally what to ask for necessarily all the time. But when you bring it together to Jesus, it's like, mm-hmm. Jesus, do something mm-hmm. wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. You got to do it. And it's kind of like the posture of Philip and Andrew here, like, okay, the Greeks want to see you. Like, we're not exactly sure what the answer is, but we're going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this call to like, let's just live like that all the time.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's so beautiful.
Well, I love that word, sister. You mentioned this last week, I think, when you were saying, yeah, that do something wonderful, Jesus. And I just love that because it's not even like do something, God. It's like do something wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's like such a beautiful trust in God of like, I don't trust that you're just even going to do something. I trust that it's going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, I trust that it's going to be like a stunning proclamation of your glory and who you are. And like, yeah, to me, it's just such a, it's like the next level of trust and affirmation of the goodness of God. So I love that I love it when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is such a gift in community because I know, Sister Kendra, you have this particular gift of like, I am terrible with dates and anniversaries. Like, shocking. Like, I'm sorry to my family, but it's hard for me to remember my immediate family's birth dates.
Yeah.
And then a sister reminds me. But like, even the fact that you have the gift of like being aware of anniversaries and dates and to call them to mind, like our prayer life is blessed by that because you have the gift of that being important and actually having the capacity to remember, you know, and it's like you remember that intention and it enriches all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And it's like there's different gifts. Yeah. That some sisters, even the way they, the desire on their heart to voice an intention, it's like, like I have that intention, but I didn't have that desire for, you know, I wasn't able to voice what I wanted or hoped for there.
Yep.
It was beautiful. Like the different facets of that we are able to bring in like the jewel of community life.
Mm-hmm.
And even to like lean into vulnerability in that place, as you're already saying.
Yeah.
But just even like sometimes to ask like, sister, can you pray for me? Like, can you bring me to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's such a power in that.
Yeah.
And it's really important.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. And I mean, we do this with each other, you know, but like, I just can only encourage that actually, like, bring, can you bring me to Jesus? And even to pray together in that moment right now, let the person pray with you.
That's awesome. I love that. Cause I think what you're talking about too, sister, that we see in this, like, this Jesus is being very vulnerable with his friends right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's revealing, you know, some hard words and some vulnerabilities of his own heart too, of what's coming. And you can see the shift in the gospel of the impeding cross. And I think sometimes in community life, we can be so, I'm speaking personally, we can be so caught up in like, what am I bringing? You know, how am I going to bless community? What strengths do I have? How am I adding to this? Like, what good stuff have I got? Which is important and essential. But then also, you know, you flip the side of the other side of the coin and it's like, well, what space is there in my life for my other sisters to be a blessing to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're all just bringing our good parts, there's no room to be received, you know, and almost like this question of like, is there space in me to provide a space for another sister to be a blessing, you know, of my needs, my weaknesses, even my prayer intentions, like, I don't even know how this is going in my family or this thing in mission is bothering me, but sister, can you pray for me? It's like creating a space for another sister to step in, which creates a bond on a deeper level that, you know, just, bringing your strong parts is not going to provide for. It's like it's like the next level of community life.
It's awesome. It actually reminds me of this amazing quote I just heard. It's from, so I was watching the Healing the Whole Person retreat video. This to the John Paul II Healing Center. Highly recommend it to everyone listening.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. Look them up. But they were quoting Father Boniface Hicks, OP.
Yes.
And this amazing quote where he says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but every one of our weaknesses is a near occasion of communion.
Cool.
What?
Love it.
Awesome. Yeah. It's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true.
Every one of our weaknesses, our weakness is a near occasion of communion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything you're saying.
And it's actually like, it's giving permission for the gift of my sister to be received.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually creating a space for each other that actually my need could bless another sister, can create a space that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a particular experience too of communion that happens in that place. You know, like there's a beauty and a gift, like when we're doing well together and we're having fun, but like when you step into a place of vulnerability with another, there's a new depth of love and intimacy that it's really unlike, I think, any other experience, you know, of communion. And I mean, this is what we see Jesus doing. It's like Jesus, that's what Jesus does on the cross. It's like he makes himself entirely vulnerable, entirely exposed before us, but it's like that's the place of deepest intimacy and union with him, and he makes himself vulnerable first so that he can teach us, you know, how we can do it with one another.
That's like totally Jesus in the Eucharist. It's like, how much more vulnerable can you get? Like a piece of bread can't move, can't speak, I mean, you know, like physically, and yet that is like the fast track to communion. I mean, literally we call the Eucharist communion. That's what it. Yeah, his vulnerability literally leads to communion.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus in this passage, he is being so vulnerable. Like he's actually sharing like his heart with his apostles. He's like, I'm troubled now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he's sharing an experience of his heart very vulnerably. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, but it's like such an invitation, you know. He's inviting his apostles into this experience, you know. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
And the response is that the Father responds. It's like immediately communion, like drawn to communion with the Father.
Mm-hmm. And the Father responds like verbally, like people can hear. Mm-hmm. Right? It sounds like thunder to some people, but it's like, mm-hmm. it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Just to note that too, and I think you mentioned it before, Sister, mm-hmm. like just how unusual it is in the Gospels, especially in this Lenten season, that the Father literally breaks through. It's almost like, I don't know, it's he has something so burning on his heart where he's not going to use intermediaries anymore. He's literally just going to come through with this sound of thunder from heavens. Like, yeah, just how much God wants us to hear what he's about to say. And we saw that already. Like, we already went through the Gospel of, you know, at Jesus' baptism, where the Father breaks through and says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And now we have this third time where Jesus is just on the verge of really shifting his disciples to the cross, and this time of his own death. The Father breaks through again, and just to claim this as an hour that's important and reverent.
Yeah, this is like right before Jesus washes the feet and right after his entry into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I don't ever think about this word from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of a lesser known word from the Father, but it's so important. Right. Like, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a foreshadowing of the glory of the resurrection in the midst of the cross. Like, Jesus is talking about the cross and mm-hmm. the Father's almost like giving like the full picture.
Yeah, he's like placing his stamp on it. Because mm-hmm. you think of it now, like when we think of Jesus, like the most common symbol or image we have of him is him crucified, and the Father's like pausing on this moment. And, you know, now we look to Jesus and we have these same words of the Father. Like, every time we look at the crucifix, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Because here we're going to see a whole turn in history, right? Up until this point in history, death, suffering has only been the end chapter of people's stories, right? There's no meaning there. It's like, you know, it's the dead end. But Jesus is about to shift this human experience in a whole new groundbreaking way. This is now the place where God speaks to us, mm-hmm. where we can be united, where communio that was once separated by death now becomes united.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like this whole new shift that the Father's telling us to pause on. Look at my Son dying upon the cross. Mm-hmm. Have this image. God can speak here.
Mm-hmm.
The Son is speaking here. Listen to him there.
Like before, death was a place of loneliness
mm-hmm.
only.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still gonna be an experience of that, but it's like, but he's transformed it into like, now I can, there's actually communion that's possible in this place of crucifixion that never was before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like love. I mean, I remember a sister saying to me one time when I was trying to describe an experience that was difficult for me. And she said, sister, it sounds like you're saying, it's like love has entered so much into that place of suffering that it's like, that's what you see more than the cross. Like, I mean, in Sister Mary Grace, you said it so beautifully. I remember Jesus never gives a cross without himself being on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, to me, I'm like, that is such an awesome way to say it.
Yeah.
Like that actually suffering no longer has a place of isolation, but now it's filled with love himself and his presence there. And yeah, to me, it's like this beautiful invitation of staying with Jesus and like this invitation to friendship with him. Like when we love someone and when you're friends with someone, you want to go to the cross with them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do crazy things for them, staying up late, getting up early, running errands for them. Like you're willing to bend over backwards when you love someone. And it's as if Jesus is saying, like, draw into intimate friendship with me and I'm going to the cross. Will you come with me? Like that friendship with Jesus is actually primary and first. And that's what gives us the strength and the courage to enter into the cross with him, because we know the one who's there and we want to follow the one that we love.
Mm-hmm. And we also know because of this cross that this is also no longer the end chapter. It's just a new chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that in the cross, we can now look at the cross. And I mean, all of us can relate to the cross in every different facet of our life in different ways or different stages. But now the cross, instead of a dead end, has become, you know, this whatever experience of hopelessness I feel in my life right now, whatever experience, whether it's a small way, a big way, people know about it, no one knows about it. My experience of hopelessness right now finds hope in the person of Jesus because he's in it. He's speaking to me through it. He's with me in it. And this is not the end of the story anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like finally hopelessness has found hope.
That reminds me of a really powerful story of one of our good friends who recently passed, Dr. Michael Brescia. There's many good stories about Dr. Michael Brescia, but one of them is, so Dr. Michael Brescia turned down a very prestigious kind of path in his career and basically took over Calvary Hospital in the Bronx and made it into this really beautiful hospice care facility
for those who are dying. And really, really powerful. And they're very special in the sense of at Calvary Hospital, they treat their patients so uniquely, so personally, so tenderly, so individually. Mm. Every staff there is making a gift of themselves for their patients.
Wow, beautiful.
In a powerful, unique way. So they go talk to them. They love them. They touch them. They're tender with them. Like, it's really, really a place of profound love. Mm. And so Dr. Michael Brescia, one day they got this call that they had found this woman under a bridge in the city. And could they take her to them? And he said, yes. And so they brought her. Her name was Angela. That's all they could get from her. Her name was Angela. And she was like totally filthy. She had a huge tumor coming from her back. Her hair was cut really, really short. She was missing a lot of teeth. And she was just, she couldn't talk and didn't seem like she understood much or could interact at all. Like, it was just, they weren't even like, can you even understand? Can you even hear? So the staff took her and they, as Dr. Michael said, if they had could have put her through a dishwasher, they would have, because she was so dirty. But he came back the next day and she was all cleaned up. They had done her nails, they'd done her hair, makeup. They had treated her so beautifully. And Dr. Michael was really taken by her and he said, Angela, I'm going to come and visit you every day. I come visit you every day. And he kept to his promise. So he'd come and visit her every day. And before going into any patient's room, he'd always say, like, Lord, I'm here for you. I'm here to love you. And he'd see every patient as the Lord. So one day, Dr. Michael Brescia went on a trip and he kind of came back really late. And he thought, oh, I'm not going to see Angela today. I'm too tired. Mm. But then he remembered his promise. He's like, no, I'm gonna go see her. So he goes into her room, her hospital room, and he finds she's actually actively dying. Mm. And so he sits by her in the bed and says, Angela, it's me, Dr. Michael. I'm here with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay with you. You're just holding your hand, talking to her, praying for her. And a couple hours pass and he kind of drifted off a little bit. And then he hears a voice, Dr. Michael, Dr. Michael. And he kind of wakes up startled and surprised and looks, and it's Angela. She never said a word up until this point. He's Angela, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And Angela looks at him and says, Dr. Michael, tonight I will speak your name to God. Mm. And she closed her eyes and not that long after she passed away.
Wow. So powerful. And,
I mean, it's such a powerful story, but like what an image of vulnerability and communion, you know? And I mean, just incredible.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so powerful.
I want to cry every time I think about it.
It's stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much Angela's need brought those incredible caretakers around here, but how it blessed everyone. Angela, Dr. Brescia. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Yeah. And the gift that we have and how powerful that story is to us because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When him making it gift of himself and like dying to himself in that moment when he was like, I just want to go to bed. And he's like, no, I'm going to keep my promise. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like even this image of the seed dying and bearing fruit.
Well, and just to the statement of like, there's no wasted acts of love. It just struck me this time when you're telling the story of like all these caregivers and nurses that like painting her nails and doing her hair. It's so beautiful, but it's like, you could almost think of that and be like, wow, what a waste of time. Or, you know, this woman's dying. Is that really going to make a difference? Mm. But just the power of these little acts of kindness and loving each other through times of suffering and difficulty. I can only testify that too in religious life. It's like, it's those little acts of encouragement and seeing one another that builds up the body and the community in such powerful ways. And we can never undermine them in our families, workplaces. Like, yeah, they're game changers for a day. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, they change everything.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And they bear so much fruit. Like it's, I love this image of the, unless it dies, it remains alone. But it's like this, if I make this act of self, like died to myself in this way, it's like the fruit it produces. And you look at wheat and there are many grains of wheat on one head of grain, right? It's it's like abundantly fruitful. It's like multiplication.
Yeah.
And that's like the gift of our unique hearts to each other and how it bears fruit beyond what we can imagine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also just thinking about the line. It really struck me that, you know, whoever loves his life loses it and whoever hates his life in this world will be preserve it for eternal life. That as Sisters of Life, it just to hear the words like hate your life, it's like, oh, that seems a little bit affronting. But, you know, it reminded me as I was reading it of our founder, Cardinal O'Connor. He would say that, you know, as Sisters of Life, you know, of course we're there to help promote, enhance the sacredness of like life on earth, you know, the dignity of the person. He said, ultimately, we're actually most invested in each person's eternal life because that's literally at the end of the day, what matters the most. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just being struck that that's what Jesus is actually holding out to us here. I think especially even during Lent when we're feeling the pinch very humanly, it's like, that it's only to set our gaze and our sights on the eternal life that he's holding out for us, the glory that the Father's speaking to us today. Mm-hmm. It's like, lift up your chin. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's just such a call to communally like lift up our eyes to mm-hmm. him.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. As you were speaking, it just reminded me, it's almost like a call to spiritual childhood where the Father's like, don't worry about your life. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be concerned about all these worries and anxieties and mm-hmm. frustrations and needs. Like, don't let them worry you. Like, don't become obsessed with your own life. It's this call to like, let's set our hearts in this Lent in a whole new way on one another and upon the life that we're all called to, which is eternal life, which actually that should be the concern of our life mm-hmm. and the concern of the sister and the brother sitting next to me. Like, let that be your preoccupation, mm-hmm. you know, be concerned with one another. Lent is all about being more aware and awakened to the person that lives beside me mm-hmm. and stop focusing on your own life. Cause actually that's not the path to happiness. Mm-hmm. Let the Father take care of that.
Mm-hmm. It's a powerful awesome. Word.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And it's like, it really goes with like when he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. It's like when we're captivated by this love, mm-hmm. everything falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And we come together to him and it's mm-hmm. yeah. Everything you're saying is mm-hmm. so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the answer to like the beginning of the gospel when Andrew and Philip are bringing this petition of the Greeks to Jesus. His answer is he will draw all men to himself. Mm. It's like he's basically saying like, yes, I want you. Mm-hmm. You want to see me? I want that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome.
It's awesome.
We want to see Jesus.
Amen.
Let's speak like the Greeks.
Yeah. Wow. Well, what a gift. Gosh, do we have any challenges for the week?
My challenge is actually just to find a friend who you know, or make a new friend, but who you can pray with and maybe entrust some intentions of your heart to, and ask them to pray for you right there, right then and there in that real moment, and then vice versa. What can you pray for them and pray with them in that moment? I think that's really powerful, and it's kind of how Philip and Andrew are doing it. So mm-hmm. that's my challenge for this week.
Yeah, I love that, sister. I'm just going to piggyback on your one. I think very easily we can be aware of our own needs and bring them to the Lord in prayer too. And I think also just on to add to that, yeah, if I'm aware of a need this week, to maybe consider the brave and humble act to reach out to a friend and just be like, hey, can you help me with this? Or, hey, this is really bothering me. Or, yeah, I mean, to ask for prayer. I just think that's such a beautiful one, to ask for prayer or ask for help from someone close by. You never know what gift that is for someone, to give them an opportunity to be there for you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, what's coming to me, it's so simple, but just the gift you are to Jesus and just, yeah, his desire to be in deep friendship with you as we head towards the cross. And I don't know, maybe just, I'm sure, you know, you might already do this or maybe you never, but just an invitation to walk into a church sometime during this week outside of Sunday Mass and just literally visit Jesus in the tabernacle, who waits there for you. And yeah, just allow your heart to be the gift for Jesus, you know, whether it's just, yeah, saying hi or saying hello, just yeah, enter into the Jesus in the tabernacle in the Eucharist who waits for you vulnerably.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, and I would just say as my challenge to really sit with these words of the Father, and you can even go back to, yeah, the other words the Father has spoken, and really let him speak them over you. Ask the Father, like, show me your glory in my life. Sometimes we can see that, especially when we reflect on things that we're grateful for. It helps point our eyes to places where we've seen God's glory. But not to respond to these moments in our life just as like, oh, that was just thunder. That was an angel speaking to someone else. But like, that's for me. Like, to actually acknowledge like, wow, my response is gratitude and praise. So to, yeah, either through Lectio Divina or just, asking the Father to show you in your own life. Ask the Father to show in your life where his glory is.
Cool. Love it. It's beautiful, awesome. Sister. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Sister Veritas, you want to close this in prayer?
I do. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray very simply. Lord, glorify your name in us. Blessed Mother, unite us in your heart and in the heart of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we give you all glory as we pray. Glory be to the Father.
And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Amen.
Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good to joy. Be.
Yeah, joy to be together.
Good to be with you.
See you next time.
God bless.
Ciao.
This was Let Love Podcast with the Sisters of Life, a religious community of women consecrated for the protection of the sacredness of human life. Be assured of our prayers and learn more at sistersoflife.org.